Hi, this is Mr. Farrell, and welcome back to another episode of Gecko Podcasting. In today's podcast, we have eight of Mr. Young Class's grade 5 students sharing with us their personal narratives that they have just finished writing. A personal narrative is a form of writing in which the writer relates an event, incident, or experience in his or her own life. As you are listening, take note of the students' attention to detail. They're painting a story with their words, expressing what they thought, heard, saw, or felt. We hope you enjoy today's episode of Gecko Podcasting.
Hi, my name is Carter. I'm going to read you a piece I wrote in November. It's called Butterfly, Tree, Boy, and a Girl. Here it goes. If you think nothing can go wrong with a tree, butterfly, boy, and a girl, well, you're wrong. Everything can go wrong with those four things. So think twice before you... Wait, no! Think three times before using those four things. When my mom, my sister, and I got back from my basketball game, my mom had to get the mail. So my sister and I were sitting in the car. I asked my sister if she wanted to get out. She said sure. So when we got out of the car, we told our mom that we were going to climb a tree. When we found a tree that we both thought looked funny, I said, I bet I can climb it. My sister Jackie said, sure you can, Carter. I said, oh yeah? And I was off using my hands and feet. You couldn't stop me. Finally, when I got tired, I took a break on a branch. When I tried to move, I figured out I was stuck. The only thing I could do was jump. So I asked my sister to catch me. She said yes. I was terrified. So I got in the right spot and jumped. As I was watching the ground, I heard Jackie say, hey, a butterfly. When I heard that, I said to myself, I'm going to kill that girl. I put my arm in front of myself so I wouldn't get killed. When my arm hit the ground, I heard a crack. The next morning, I woke up. I saw this lady right in front of me. She was touching my arm. I yelled out, ouch! Mom, who is this lady? She's a doctor. Now, why is she here? Because you broke your arm by jumping off a tree. No, I didn't. See, I can move my arm. Ouch! Point taken, I said in pain. Now let me see that arm, my doctor said. Ouch! 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 Stop touching me! Okay, that's all I need to see. Well, Miss Bidding, it's broken, but not too bad. Here's where he can get an x-ray. Thank you, my mom said. As the doctor was leaving, the only thing that I could say was bye.
Hi, my name is AJ, and this is my personal narrative that I wrote in fifth grade. The title is Jurong Water Park. Mr. Young Class went to the front of the room with a proud smile on his sunny face. Somehow, the good feeling drifted over us and everyone was quiet. I felt something incredible was going to happen. And yes, something did happen. I could have sworn that Lucy could feel my happiness because she was jumping up and down all the while saying, AJ, do you know what's coming? No, and don't tell me what, even if it's a hint. AJ, we get to go to Jurong Water Park. Lucy, I said sternly, didn't I just ask you to keep your mouth closed? I said, quite exasperated with her. Lucy pretended to be hurt, but she walked away pretty gleefully. Finally, the day came. Our class got on a bus, and after a fight over seats, we disappeared outside the school grounds. The bus was headed toward the water park in no time. Nothing really interesting happened, except that Diana was singing the song 99 Bottles of Beer on the Wall, succeeding to make me angry enough to try to throw her out of the bus. But I stayed calm enough to control myself. When our class got to the water park, I was disappointed. It looked no bigger than a school field, but way more exciting. I couldn't wait, but no. Safety matters first, and so on, so on. Finally, Lucy and I got changed, and we jumped into the pool with some aides scolding after us. I met quite a few of my friends' friends. I met Elizabeth, Michelle, not the twins, Lena, and Marissa, about 6 hours later. Oh my God, the teachers are starting to spread the news about getting changed, Michelle said, part freaked out, part shocked. Huh, I thought to myself, she thinks it's the end of the world. Hey, AJ, a voice broke through my thoughts. You want to ride on the yellow slide until the news about changing spreads? Lucy said eagerly. Yeah, sure, whatever, I said wearily. She was seriously dragging me around the place. I mean, it seemed like she sucked all my energy right the instant I needed it most. The yellow slides are the kind of slides that as soon as you slipped in, it would take only a few seconds to come out and hit your butt on the water. There was one time when I jumped into the slide, and before I could say that this was the best field trip ever, I hit the water with the biggest splash I ever made. We went through at least 10 more rides. Finally, she led me to our table where our clothes were. Jeez, I think we spent too much time on those yellow slides, AJ, Lucy said. Sigh. She was such a pain in the neck sometimes. Then I turned around and headed toward the ladies' room. Lucy followed me. When I got out of the ladies' room, I headed straight to the table because I wanted to put the book bag down, which was unusually heavy, and also there was a buzz of excitement that attracted my attention. I wondered what it was. As I got closer, I heard Diana complaining something about Lucy Lee's hairbrush. When I finally got there, I saw Diana's hair tangled into Lucy's circular hairbrush. There goes Dee Dee being foolish again, I thought to myself. She never seems to stay out of trouble these days, someone said. I didn't know who it was. As I whipped myself around, I saw Zoe Young. She was my best friend from fourth grade. I missed her a lot, but this was not the time for that. I was just astonished that she knew Diana. You know Diana, I croaked. I found myself remembering the day she listed all her friends and didn't tell me about Diana. Actually, no, she said, sounding surprised as me. Michelle told me what she gets herself into, and the worst things sometimes occur daily. This is the worst of the worst. Sigh. At least my sister isn't that bad, she said with a laugh. Thinking back to that day once again, I remembered Zoe listing Michelle on her list. I turned my attention back to Diana. I saw Mrs. Smith approaching to fix the matter. She untangled Diana's hair from the hairbrush in no time. The rest of the day went like a breeze. I never want to forget that good feeling of adventure for the rest of my soul-surviving days from deep down in my heart.
Pow! Clyde, my 24-pound dog, kicked me right in the face as we were playing doggy football for his 7th birthday. He was as sturdy as a whole herd of bulls. I pounced to the touchdown line to score a touchdown, but Clyde plummeted in front of me. I fell backward and crashed my head on the coffee table. It was a violent football game, because once I picked up Clyde and then tackled him to the ground. Boom! Clyde tackled me to the ground like I was the smallest mouse in the world. Then about 5 minutes later, I got him off. Then by that time, it was already halftime, so I had to drink tons of water. We had 45 minutes left. I dodged Clyde's move that he tried to tackle me with, but it wasn't good enough. During the next 10 minutes, Clyde and I hadn't even got one touchdown on each other at all. Whoosh! Clyde fell down like an expired pig. Next, we came back to get Clyde, but he was standing at the touchdown line with the football in his mouth. Clyde had deceived, but I let him have the point because he's a dog. Whoomp! Clyde fell over. Again. I slammed the door shut with tears trickling down my face. We got to the doctor and we walked into the glimmering glass doors. The next 20 minutes, the doctor came out with Clyde's cone, but no Clyde. 10 minutes later came Clyde's collar, but no Clyde. I thought in my head, is Clyde dead? Next finally came Clyde, with no doggy cone, a new collar, and a cast on his paw. By the time we got out of the hospital, I was already tired of carrying Clyde from about 200 feet across the parking lot. He was panting so dense I could feel his heart beating. I shoved open the back door and leaped into the trunk with Clyde. I had to hold him for about 45 more minutes, then we got home. When I came out, I had thousands of Clyde hairs on my palms. I had the same question in my head from the doctor's office. Why does Clyde have a cast on his paw? When we went back to the doctor's office to find out why Clyde had a cast on his paw, all the doctor said was that Clyde's foot was broken and that he had to put medicine in the wound. So when we got home, we finally saw that Clyde had a wound on the top of his right foot gushing with blood. So we wrapped it back up and it was fine.
Hi, my name is Abby, and I'm going to share a personal narrative. My friend and I. Beep, beep, went my watch. It must be 8:30, I said to myself. Julia woke up. What was that noise? She wondered. That was my watch. By the way, let's go downstairs to eat breakfast, I told my friend. At breakfast, I had toast with sprinkles, and my friend had sunny side up. I asked, what do you want to do later? Julia suggested, want to swim at my house? I said excitedly, sure, I love to swim, especially with my friend. We walked to Julia's house. We put our swimsuits on. In the water, we played this game when we pretended we were stranded and can't get off a broken ship part. Then we played this game when there's a shark, and the shark was really my friend. So it was fun because we couldn't get off the broken ship part. That was really a mat. After that, we went to my house. There, we played Seen It. When we chose characters for Seen It, Julia chose Tinkerbell, and I chose Nemo. There's a die when you roll with six sides. Each side has an activity. My favorite activity is the side where you watch a little short clip. At the end of the clip, there's a question about the movie you watched. Your whole group tries to answer the question first. Then, you roll another die with numbers to move your character. While you answer the question, you're timed. It was a tie at the end. We both won, so I was kind of happy. Later, we watched a movie and had cheese-flavored popcorn. After that, we got ready for bed. Went to sink while my friend and I were brushing our teeth, gargling, wiping our mouths. Then, the bathroom door closed. Boom. We finished getting ready for bed. We jumped in our beds, boing. I closed my eyes, and I was thinking of that day when we were playing at my friend's pool. I loved the part when we were playing Seen It. Then I was thinking about the pool again. I dozed off with the covers up to my ears, nice, cozy, and warm.
My name is Colin, and today I'm going to be reading you one of my personal narratives. It's called The Deciding Wall. Here it goes. We set up camp and crept to our secret battle stations. Our army waited and waited for 30 minutes. Then, at dusk, we saw something. There it was again, a flicker in the dark shadows. An arrow whizzed past us faster than light. We sent a soldier to scout the unknown area, and the second he was out of sight, we heard a deafening scream. After 10 minutes of waiting quietly for the soldier, they came. With their trumpets blaring, bum ba bum, and their feet stomping, bang, 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 we heard that deafening noise as their army marched into sight. At first, we were too astonished to do anything, but when their archers fired their arrows, the music stopped and we raised our shields. The noise of arrows on shields rang out over the battlefield and into my ear like an annoying fly. With their scooters, they charged, but luckily, our archers took them down at half field. That was a moment our army would never forget. We could almost taste wounds. Their foot troops charged, and we met them in battle. Their screams were so loud with the clang of swords on swords. It seemed that everything was in slow motion. I could see one man collide swords and twist his wrists so the sword flew like a bird out of the enemy's hands. The soldier closed in on the kill, but got knocked down on the way there. After a long time of fighting, their forces began to weaken, and soon we had them on the run. Then, we saw that they were bringing in big reinforcements, much larger than their first attack. Our scared troops retreated to the first wall. The time of battle dawned on us like rocks in a bag. As they charged the wall, the troops at the base of the wall made a final stand to battle it out. Even with our archers and our troops, as well as all of our advantages, we couldn't completely wipe them out. With a triumphant howl that split the air, they crashed through the wall. But they didn't know that there was another wall, and this wall was filled with fully armored troops. When the enemy approached, they jumped out like a kangaroo and set the enemy sprawling faster than cheetah on the unforgiving floor. Our wounded men went and got first aid. Finally, we beat our enemy. Now we have their land. "Hey," Bradley said, "do you want to pick different teams and go again, or do you want to switch sides?" "You can have the wall," I said. "I am keeping this team." That was where we left off. We all can't wait until we meet again on our Myrtle Beach battlefield. Who knows, maybe next time it will be on the beach.
Hi, my name's Diana, and this is a story that I wrote in November called The Way My Dad Made a Difference. My dad's name is Michael D. He is the coolest dad ever. You know how people always say small things make a difference? Big things do too. And I'm going to tell you how as I take you into this unbelievable story. Just a few months ago in Africa, my dad started his thrilling adventure to Mount Kilimanjaro. Before he climbed Kilimanjaro, he had to do lots of training. He and his 9 work friends did lots of small climbs before they started their long hike. My dad and his friends climbed this mountain to raise money for Make-A-Wish Foundation. He had raised so much money, he and his friends gave a wish to more than 100 kids. Lots of people have died during this climb. That's why it took them about 7 days to get to the top and 2 days to get down. So Dad was away for almost 9 to 10 days. My dad said while on the trip, they saw many glaciers that were bigger than a blue whale. They went from the rainforest to the alpine forest. So it was hot, but also very, very cold. Altogether, my dad and his friends raised $350,000 for Make-A-Wish Foundation.
Hi, my name is Gavin, and today I will tell you my personal narrative. My personal narrative is called A Sleepover from Heaven. Here it goes. A very silent, jet-black dark night. It was so silent that even the BFG, the Big Friendly Giant, could not hear a sound. I only thought of the cruel, pitch-black world outside me. Then I heard a noise. It was the sound of screeching wheels and a thumping foot. The door knocked like a hyper woodpecker on a massive tree. I ran like the wind. I ran faster than a cheetah about to get his meal. The wind in my face was like 100 hurricanes. My arm grabbed the shiny metallic cold doorknob. It was like a humongous rubber band covered with super glue. Then my arm pulls like a towering crane. This is a sleepover from heaven. My heart was shocked like a sting from a bee when Alex stepped in my house. Before we went to sleep, we played Super Smash Bros. Brawl, or SSBB. I almost forgot to tell you that I had all the characters, and there are about 30 characters. After I woke up from a stupendous dream, my life got even better. For breakfast, we had one of my favorites. We had crispy bacon, soft-fried eggs, and crunchy toast. When we were filled with breakfast, we created a small war. Alex and my little brother Jacob battled me and my Transformers. After the battle was over, I played Mario Kart. My fingers were locked like thick cement, fast as a speeding bullet, sweaty as an ocean, eyes glued down like a ravenous hawk, making the final ending on Coconut Mall. Ahead of everybody like a stretched out rubber band. It ended quickly like a blink of an eye, but it did not end with me winning the race. The door opened, and it ended with the door closing quietly like a mouse. Alex was gone like the wind, going home with his mom. It was one of the best sleepovers ever.
Hi. My name is Jonathan, and I'm going to read you a story called Brownie Robbery. Have you ever seen the most perfect brownie anyone has ever seen in a street stealer's jaw? I have, and it's not a dog. One night, after an exciting day, I ordered pizza. Pizza guy came. His motorbike's light lit up the shadows of night. Then I thought I saw a dog's shadow, but it wasn't. It showed a route to the kitchen where the brownies I made with my mother were cooling. But as far as I could tell, nothing was there. But I wasn't sure what was in the drawer. I mumbled to myself, it's probably Bunny or Space walking in. Bunny and Space are my dogs. I went upstairs to get a slice of pizza until I heard bushes rattling and something that was sugar high. It came from the kitchen, and I sprinted faster than a Need for Speed devil. There, in the kitchen, I saw the brownies and a cat's mouth. I said, boy, would I like to have revenge. In my world, I ran faster than the speed of light to catch that little black robber. But he escaped before I could build up speed. Now that's fast. As I was walking toward the gate where he escaped, I said, I know what you eat. I was planning to trick on him by making mud brownies that smell of real brownies.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SAS Gecko Podcasting. I hope you've enjoyed listening to the personal narratives of Mr. Young Class's fifth grade students. If you didn't hear your favorite writer this time, please check back soon for part three of our personal narrative series, where we'll hear the rest of the class. Until next time, for SAS Gecko Podcasting, this is Mr. Farrell saying so long.